new is for everyone. And the reality is we all need new. I'm guessing you're like me and you've had that moment where you feel absolutely busted. In my life, I've had it several times. In grade school, over and over, it's that moment you think you're sitting there doing your thing with the friends around you, and all of a sudden, like, there's just this eerie silence. And it's not quiet, but you just can hear the teacher looking at you. You don't even want to lift your eyes up and make eye contact with you. You just know that in that moment, you've been caught and you're busted. Not to mention when you go home, in which several times I've, you know, been in my room, been in the basement, doing these different things outside, stuff that you didn't want your parents to catch you in the act of. And like, you didn't hear them open the door, but all of a sudden you knew the door was open. You knew they were out on the porch. They had caught me, and I was busted. It's been a long time. I've been doing really, really well. But this past Thanksgiving, I was driving back from extended family. The kids were in the car. Jenny was sitting next to me. And it usually rains a little bit as we're coming across the highway. But, you know, 30 minutes and you're out of it. But it had poured and poured. And it was a tense drive after a long Thanksgiving weekend. And I hopped onto the Illinois side to drive up to Quincy, and the rain let off. It was still raining, but it was finally like a relaxing type of rain. And I guess as I relaxed, my foot went farther down on the gas pedal, and all of a sudden, I just knew. The kids were like, "Dad, what's going on?" And I said, "Interesting. Like, the guy, I guess, decided to put Christmas lights on his car. A little early after Thanksgiving, but he must have liked the color red and blue because his car was flashing." And I said, "Hey, why don't I pull over, kids, so we can check out this car that's flashing." And so I pulled over and he pulled in behind me. And you knew it. I knew it, but my kids didn't know it at that moment. And they said, "Dad, like, why are we on the side of the road?" And I said, "Hey, I think the guy that has Christmas lights flashing on his car, he probably wants to know my name and have my autograph and stuff like that." And my kids learned what it was like for Dad to get busted. You've been there, right? But there's a lot of times when we're busted that at the end of the day, you can look back on it and be like, it's not really that big of a deal. You know, 15 minutes after school to serve my detention, and I was out of trouble with the teachers. A week of being grounded at the house or having some extra chores, it was kind of like every hockey player says after a fight. 2 minutes, well worth it. Even like getting a ticket. At my house, we jokingly call it our charitable contribution. You know what it's like. It's like you're busted, but you can get out of it pretty quickly and move on with life. But there's a different type of guilt, of being busted, where you just never feel like you can get out from underneath the weight of it. You've probably been there. I know I have certainly been to that place. You know the places where you hurt the people you love the most. You hurt yourself. You're disappointed in who you are or what you've done, and you can't get out from underneath that. Or you've hurt a spouse, kids, family, lifelong friends, and you feel like, how am I ever going to get out of this? And you know, it's that moment when you wake up and realize that it really is true when they say sometimes the hardest person to lead is yourself. My guess is there's been moments in this season of our life, living under this COVID-19 pandemic, where we felt busted, guilty, where everything seems to be under a magnifying glass as kind of certain things slow down, other things speed up. The addictions that we were used to be able to mask, We could hide them from people. Well, those places have been shut down, and now, like, our addictions are getting harder to hide. The anger that we were able to escape from is now, like, locked into a house, and the fuse is getting shorter and shorter, and it's like we're trying to work, but we just blow up on the people we love the most more quickly. For people who are lazy, it's like you would think that this being a lazy season where you're supposed to just be like staying at home and all of that, it's starting to wear on us. Like, when do we get to actually do something? And we start to wonder if our life really matters. For some of us, or maybe I should say all of us, we're being desensitized, and lust is becoming real, and how we interact with that. All the statistics tell us that the amount of internet use and TV watching and TV binging has just gone through the roof. And the question is are we being desensitized? And what does this look like for us to wrestle with our lustful eyes and lustful hearts? We're starting to recognize that the weight of our selfishness is real, and we don't seem to be able to mask it. And now the people we love the most, we're starting to see the impact that it's having on them. Maybe some of us are religious, and we used to go to church on a weekly basis and check the boxes. Hey, I showed up at church. Hey, I listened to the message. Hey, I took communion. I gave an offering, and, you know, I shook the right people's hands, and we walk out, and that's been the way that we've been atoning for our sins, by checking the religious boxes. And we're finding out that, man, it's been a long time since I've been able to check those boxes. In a materialistic society where we consume so much, we're starting to recognize that the stores aren't open, and it's hard to get our fix on buying stuff. You're feeling it, right? Like, you're starting to understand that we're guilty. We all live in a place where we're being busted, and the hardest person to lead most often is ourself. Are we willing to forgive ourselves? Are we willing to allow God to forgive us? And are we willing to go ask other people to forgive us? If you've ever been busted, or you are sitting in a season of guilt, you know that new needs to become real. And you are hoping that new is really for everyone, specifically you and me and those of us who all feel guilty. The Bible seems to know a lot about being busted. So it's like one of those places where we take great comfort in it. And yes, and yet it's also still really convicting. Comfort in the fact that other people are doing this, and yet convicting in the fact that, man, we hope that our story changes like some of others have experienced. It would be Genesis chapter 3, right? Where Adam and Eve were with God. They were under his presence, and they chose to be selfish and sinful, and they went against God, and God kicked them out of the garden. They were busted. It's Exodus 18 where the great leader Moses gets busted by his father-in-law for his inability to lead the right way. And he's guilty of leading alone when God called us to lead together. It's 2 Samuel 11 where David is busted. It's in a season that's busy, much kind of like COVID-19, where things are happening rapidly. There's uncertainty in the land. We don't know exactly what's going on. And if we're not careful, we let our guard down and we start making really dumb decisions. Well, David did that. He called over for Bathsheba and he slept with her and ended up having a child. And so he sent off to have her husband murdered. He's busted. The Bible knows all about these types of people. Job 23, where Job was chosen for his faithfulness to God, and God let him be tested by the evil one. And that worked well for a season, but then it got long, and the enduring got too much. And what happened? Job questioned God's faithfulness. He was guilty. he was busted. I could keep walking through the Bible, but maybe it would be better for me to just let Paul summarize the narrative of all humanity being busted. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice this word, all. For all have sinned. We're in this together. For good or bad, you're guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. I want to encourage you this morning. Jump into John chapter 8 in your Bible. If you're following along in the John journal, it's page 48. As we set up what we're going to read today, I want to remind you that don't miss in this story that there are people that are guilty, but you and I share a similar story. Look at verse 1 of John chapter 8. It says, "They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him and sat down and taught, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?'" Isn't it interesting that this woman caught in the act of adultery, she's absolutely guilty. But what does man's leadership choose to do? They choose to shame her by bringing her before the teacher and saying, "This is what the law of Moses would do. Jesus, what would you do?" I want you to know that you and me, like the leaders and like the woman caught in adultery, we all understand the feeling of being guilty. But the Bible understands us. It's with us in this conversation. If you're to take the English version of the Bible, the English Standard Version, and just say, "Hey, where do we see things happening?" I want you to see that approximately 760 times the word sin is going to show up in your Bible. The word guilt is going to show up approximately 150 times. The word shame is going to show up 160 times. And the word punish is going to show up around 130 times. And I could keep going through the list, but what I want you to understand is the Bible gets us. The Bible allows us to be human, and it deals with us, it handles us, it walks alongside of us, it guides us, because it understands sin, guilt, shame, punishment, and the reality of us who have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are found busted. But that isn't where the Bible spends all of its time. The Bible has a different story to tell. Look at verse 6. "This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground." Jesus, being tested, he knows how he will respond to the guilty. Do you see what Jesus does in this text? He equalizes everyone, just like Paul does in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned." Jesus knows that everyone standing in this circle is busted. And yet the leaders were trying to highlight just this lady's guilt as they shamed her. But just as the Bible understands our sinfulness, the Bible also understands there's another alternative in Christ. And so if you're looking at your English Standard Version Bible, you're going to find the fact that there's the word grace 130 times in the Scriptures. And this is just the word. This isn't about the stories that give the definition or the meaning of grace without using the word. You're going to see the word mercy show up 160 times approximately. And the word favor. It's God's hand of favor upon us 140 times. And one of God's favorite words is bless. It's a misinterpreted word for most of us. We think of blessing as material things, but God's blessing is His presence with us, His presence going in front of us and guiding us and being able for us to lean into Him. And 500 times the Scriptures talk about what it looks like to bless us. So the Bible knows that we're guilty. But the Bible also knows that there's another alternative. Look at verse 9 in the text. But when they had heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." This is interesting, isn't it? Jesus doesn't shame the accusers. Jesus doesn't shame the woman. When the accusers brought her in to shame her, Jesus flipped it to a redemptive story. He met them all in their sin, their guilt, their shame, their punishment, their being busted, and He provided an alternative of grace, mercy, favor, blessing. If we're to look at our English Bible and see what story God wants to tell, let's look at another set of numbers. Death, used approximately 440 times. Just as a natural form of what happens because of the consequence of sin, that people would die. But life is used 560 times. You've got the Old Testament word Sheol, which is kind of like a graveyard. It's a cemetery. It's just a natural place for people to be buried and where they would go after they had died. Only used 60 times. That's not the story that God wanted to tell. It's not the story He wants to emphasize. Hades, 9 times. Hell itself, only used 14 times. But heaven, a new reality that comes in Christ and through Christ on our behalf, 730 times the Scriptures speak of what it could look like for you and I to be busted and yet for new to be for everyone, a transformative new, a new that comes in you and I finding our identity in Christ. So let's go back to this Romans text. You've got Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all been busted. But let me share with you, do you notice that there's a comma? That's not the end of the sentence. There's more to what God wants to tell. So we look into verse 24 of Romans chapter 3, and it says, "And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins." Do you see it in the text? It's by His grace, and grace is a gift. If you remember back to the resurrection story of Jesus, resurrection isn't done through us, it's done for us. You see, we get out of being busted by receiving this gracious gift that comes through Christ Jesus. I love that part of this text. It is the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's His atoning for our sins. So what do? Well, it says we receive it by faith. Not a blind faith, a faithful response to what Jesus has done for us. We receive the gift of grace. We say, I no longer want my busted identity. I want to be new as Jesus would want us to be new. And we allow His resurrection work to start being a gift of grace to us. And do you know what happens when you get a new identity in Christ? When God looks at you, He doesn't see you and your sins. This text tells us He is able to pass over the former sins. We move from being busted to being new. God longs for you and I to come alongside of Him and be new. And He wants us to come alongside of Him and declare that new is for everyone, even the person that is most hardest to lead. And that's you. That's me. So God knows our guilt. He knows that we all stand busted before Him. And that's why He's so passionate about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in His life, His death, His resurrection, and His continuing to be the reigning King in the kingdom of God. You see, Adam and Eve got invited back to the garden where God's going to renew all things. You know that Moses got to continue to lead because God's hand of favor rests upon him. That Job got to listen back into the voice of God even though he questioned the voice of God. David, after having an affair with Bathsheba, murdering her husband, he gets invited back into a relationship with God in which God says, you're a man after my own heart. Busted, moved to new. I don't know where you've been busted. I just know that you have been busted. And it's God's hope and desire that in Christ you would allow yourself to become new. And you would start leading yourself in a new direction in which Jesus gets the voice in who you are, who you're becoming, and how you will interact with the world in front of you. May we consider what it would mean for us to receive the reality and come alongside of Jesus declaring that new is for everyone. As we reflect on that, let us worship together.